5:03, and we'll call the Historic Preservation Committee to order. And the roll call, it appears that Josh is the only one that has not been able to make it.
Yep.
And are there any additions or changes that need to be made to the agenda?
Yes, I think it may have been 6:31 when Gene left.
Okay. Well,
I don't think so.
Nice. No, if it was wrong, let me know. I looked and I wrote it down, but oh, okay, I was gonna say, geez.
I have a motion to adopt the agenda.
I make a motion to accept.
I second.
And the approval of the minutes from the last meeting. Has everybody had a chance to review? Are there any questions? If not, is there a motion to approve?
Unapproved.
Steve makes the motion. Anybody second?
Second.
Copy. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Number four is the process to provide additional information to the state on the initial survey project. Tracy, could you?
Absolutely. I brought this along for anyone that has not had a chance to look at this. This is the document that we received. One has been given to the library, the Franconi Library downtown, and we have a second one here that we'll just hang on to for now, and maybe we'll eventually give to the Historic Society or something. But if anybody hasn't seen it, that's the document. Basically, I want to put this on the agenda just to let you know that as Joe DeRose said, and I think almost all of you were at that meeting when he was presenting, you know, this is a living document. Things can be added to it or changed as appropriate. All that has to happen is you need to work with the state, specifically with Joe DeRose, and give him some information on it. It has to be documented information, and then he can go in and he can make the changes that are needed on the document or that are requested on the document, as long as there is some documentation behind it. So the village, as you know, for those of you, I think almost all of you were at the meeting, the village board did approve the document. The document is approved. And it is now, any changes that need to happen really need to be handled through the state. And Joe DeRose is the primary contact on that. So it is out on our website. There's also the contact information for the state is out there, as well as the contact or the email for the AHI. Which has all the homes out there that you can look at and review as well. So that is a scoop on that. If there's any changes or anything that needed to happen, that's how it needs to be handled. That's because it's already been accepted.
And I did receive some corrections from a member of the public on some spelling and some additional information, and that was sent on to Joe DeRose, and then he sent me an email back to let me know that it's been incorporated.
Yep.
So we just need to decide how, or speak with Joe DeRose to decide how we update our physical copies, if that's something we can just write in, or if we need to have a separate binder that goes with it for changes.
Get new pages or whatever the case may be.
Jeannie Beeble's family were builders, and then she had some addresses that were, it was written down that it was an unknown builder,
oh.
So she wanted to add that.
Uh-huh.
And then she had some, the resident, it said was the Frank Bosda house, and it was actually the Frank Bogda house on Alloy Terrace, and there was a misspelling, and then it was not known, or it wasn't written in there, who had built, or who the owner of the gingerbread house was, and she added that name for us, and then corrected an address that she knew was I don't know, like I said, I don't know if we'll do like a special, separate binder for changes, or if that's something that Joe DeRose would tell us to just write in.
Yeah, I'll check with Joe and see how he wants to handle it, because I got the same email that you got, too, so.
Okay.
Will there be public appearances at some point?
We were going to discuss that, to add that to the agenda for future meetings. It wasn't listed on the agenda for today.
Don't have it on there.
Okay. And I discussed that.
Yeah.
So no public appearances today.
Can you speak on a subject that's something that is on the agenda, but not anything that is not on the agenda.
Okay.
So
can I talk? Can I speak on the report that we're talking about right now?
As long as it has to do with additional information that is to go to the state, and the fact that it needs to go to the state, and clarification of that. But we're not going to get into all the changes or anything that you want, Jim, because that's not our place. It is the state that needs to do that. So any of that stuff you need to take up with the state. We're not going to discuss that here.
Okay. So I did take a look at that, and I did request, I don't think that the public had a fair chance to take a look at this document, that it was, the public was not aware of this document. I saw that.
That's not what this is about. This item is about, the next item would be the public process for approval. This item agenda is really about errors or corrections or getting information to the state. So if you want to discuss that, then it would be the next agenda item would be more that information.
For example, looking at the Vince Lombardi district and the Vince Lombardi house specifically, there's quite a few blatant mistakes that are in there. Do I send that directly to them, or
you need to get that to Joe, and you need to have some documentation with it, and so source materials that show that why that is incorrect.
Well, I mean,
or whatever.
It's just blatantly wrong. I mean, it's the worst mistakes that you can possibly see.
Can you give an example of what?
Yeah, for example, on page 114 under the Vince Lombardi house, it says Vince Lombardi was born, right, in 1939. He became assistant coach at Cecilia. He married his wife Marie in 1940. The couple first lived in a rented house in Alloway, which was constructed in 1929. He didn't come here until quite a bit after that. The house located at 222 Mission, which is the house that we have listed right now for sale, was included in the survey, but it's not eligible for listing. Lombardi later left Wisconsin to become assistant coach at Fordham University. Now, my dad attended Fordham, and he assured me that Vince Lombardi had never been to Wisconsin prior to being the coach at Fordham. So very blatant stuff. So whoever wrote this was completely unfamiliar with the Vince Lombardi story. And then it says, in 1959, Lombardi returned to Wisconsin, apparently after being at Fordham. And there's great pictures of Lombardi getting off the plane after he's returned after accepting the job here. And so that's just an example of a story that was written by an intern and was not written by somebody familiar with our culture. But this is just one, this is something that everybody in the world would recognize as being wrong unless you weren't from Green Bay.
Well, then if you want to get together a list and then send that to Joe DeRose.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not going to do that. So
that's the way it has to happen, Jim. Okay, if you have changes or documents, you need to send it to Joe DeRose.
Okay, so now so we're not here, and so and then just for example, I did a lot of research on the Lombardi district, which would be the south half of the Sunset District. And there's seven houses there, including Vince Lombardi's house, of which four out of the seven do not meet the minimum requirements set by Joe DeRose, but they were approved. And you know, so my complaint is that there was some tampering going on with this map and with this whole process, that the public should have had a chance to go ahead and review the process and make sure that it was fair to everybody, because there's tax consequences and economic consequences of being in a well-run historic district. There's lots of studies that show that a well-run historic district has positive economic value, and a poorly run district has negative value. So it's very important that the people of Alloway feel that their historic districts were properly researched and properly documented. And this is, you know, it doesn't get any better than using the Lombardi district as a case study. So I have this here.
We don't have any districts yet. They're just proposed.
Yeah.
So
all
there
of
were,
that would
there
be taken care of in the nomination.
See, the problem that we run into now is that a year from now or 2 years from now, when it gets around to moving forward on any of these things, is that everybody who knows what's going on will have moved on and all the facts will have been lost. And I think that the fact that 80% of the proposed historic districts were rejected by the state indicates that something bad was going on, and that there was, either we hired the wrong person or somebody was tampering with the process.
There was no tampering with the process.
So
Jim,
that's,
and I don't think that's fair of you to say that, because
I know that we're being recorded. I know I'm on the record.
I know,
and that's why I'm going. I'm way out there on a limb, and I know that. And I double-checked my Lombardi district area, And
yes.
it doesn't get any more clear that somebody was trying to, and my only explanation is somebody was starstruck with Vince Lombardi, and they wanted that to be a district, and there's a process for having significant people, their homes on the register, but just because your home's in the neighborhood doesn't mean that that whole neighborhood becomes a district.
When did this error that occurred first, when was this first noticed by you?
I noticed it first in October of last year. I brought it up in December. The state
Where did you
somebody,
bring it up?
The state sent somebody up in a blizzard condition to stop me from talking
Jim,
about
that
it.
That is not true. That is not true.
That's what I saw. That's what I felt after
you
2 hours.
You know what, Jim? I think you need to really discuss this with the state because the village has approved the document. It is done.
Okay.
We've already talked
okay.
to you about it. The information you have, if you care to share it with Joe DeRose, that is great. And if you can document and get them information and they can verify it, and indeed if there are issues in here or errors, they can be corrected. But it's not in our hands at this point to do that. That's something that needs to happen with
okay.
the state. So okay. that's your recourse, or that's the process you need to go through.
Okay, thank you.
So well, I think
so. The answer was is that I bought it up in December.
But my point is that there is a way to make the adjustment. The only thing is that the way to make the adjustment is not through us. But the most important fact is that an adjustment can be made.
Right.
And so I think that it's an important thing to proceed on, and there is a way of correcting it, and I think we're all grateful for that.
It cannot be corrected. The database can be corrected, but the final report, once it becomes a final report and sent to the federal government, it's a final report, and that becomes etched in stone. The final report cannot be amended. The final report cannot be amended. It's not
but
a living
adjustments
document.
Can be made.
To
so
the database is a living database, but the final report is not a living document. It is etched in stone. It is a dead document. It is not a living document. And that's my understanding.
Well, I just think it's a very sad situation because you have come to practically every meeting we've had. You haven't been a member, but you've been aware of the process. And so you've been included with your vast knowledge, which is great. And we're thankful for that. But I think it's sad that we've gone this far, and then to be presented with this is kind of difficult.
I presented it in December of last year. I presented it in December of last year, and I provided I then provided my information through Rita, because I was told
yes, but
not
to provide it with on our committee here.
Tracy.
No, I did not get any information from you, Jim.
Okay, you were in the meeting, and Bobby was in the meeting, and so was Rita, and so was Joe.
I believe additional information other than just the database can be added to
yes.
this.
No.
Well, there was information from Jeannie Beeble to add a
right.
bio on her
you're,
dad.
They're changing the rules on you, and that's okay, and I understand that. But once you know, these things are supposed to be complete, authoritative documents, and they're not supposed to be subject to political whim and people changing it every year. Once it's done, it was done right, it was done initially, and it's beyond reproach. So I'm on another committee that uses these things as our Bible, and we're still struggling with the final report from the 1980s. And, you know, that's how I became very aware that
well,
it's very
I
important
be,
to be
can
doing.
Can I be bold enough to ask what other committee you're on?
Sure. Brown County Historic Preservation Committee. And so we were counting on Alloway to come up with a good study so that we could copy it and then do something similar in Astor Park to make sure that our housing stock continues to get better instead of getting worse. So
well,
we were counting on Alloway to do a good job.
I personally think that it's a shame that we have this discussion at this time.
That's why I brought it up in December of last year. And that's why...
I at the meeting? Because I don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
No, it was a separate meeting because Jim had concerns. So we, Joe DeRose, the gentleman that was presenting at the last meeting and came to our Historical Preservation Committee meeting, came and met with Bobby, myself, Rita, and went through things. And we sat for three and a half hours. And it was basically Joe trying to explain to Jim what the process was, how this
and
was,
that was
working.
And that was
yes,
the
because there was
the
a
meeting.
Misunderstanding between Jim and what he thought we were getting and what we were getting.
Okay.
So that was what the whole meeting was. So there was no documentation given, there was nothing.
Okay. Tracy, I didn't know about that.
You did not, no.
No, and
no,
so
I
that's
know you
why
and you guys, none of you did
why,
were involved
that's
in
that's why I'm questioning it now.
Right.
Because I had no knowledge of that.
Right.
Shouldn't that have been brought up in a meeting like this and put on our agenda?
It was a meeting that was right around Christmas time, and it was something that Jim had a lot of concern with the report
right.
and had brought it up. And we had talked to him about it, and we had gone through it. The state had gone through it with him, tried to explain things, gone through things. And it just, there was not an agreement there. So Joe DeRose said, I'll come over, we'll sit down and talk about it. So that's how the meeting came about.
Okay.
It wasn't really about the document itself. It was concerns that Jim had and clarification that he wanted on the document and what it was. So that's why it wasn't the full-blown meeting.
I understand that now.
Yep.
But I didn't know about that before.
Yep.
And I think I think that in the future it would be good if we incorporated everyone when a discussion like that takes place.
Sure.
Because I think it would clarify where we're at now. Because when he was talking about I said this and I said that, I searched my mind and thought, was I sleeping?
Yeah, no, it wasn't at one of our regular meetings. It was
well,
strictly
I
for that.
I think it should have been at a regular meeting.
I think that was like December 21st
yeah.
when we canceled our December meeting.
Yeah, it was in December, it was close to Christmas
but still,
time.
I mean,
right.
if we would have known about it, if we couldn't get here, that's our fault.
Right.
But I think it should have incorporated everyone so that I'm not sitting here dumbfounded when I'm hearing this back and forth talk.
Yep.
That's my only point.
Sure. In the future, we will do that.
Now that I've disrupted the meeting?
No.
So
no,
I'm not
that's fine.
I'm not sure how the state is going to incorporate changes. But they did tell me that they have made these changes as part of the document, and whether they're only changing database, they had information that was something other than the database.
I did talk to, and I have reviewed the public notice meetings and that type of thing.
That we're not talking about.
We
right.
are not
okay.
changing
okay.
That's
but
a
that,
different
but
agenda.
So
okay.
if there are
that's
changes
fine.
To be made,
that's
then
right.
if people would get the information to Joe DeRose, this has already happened in the last week, that he does incorporate the changes into the report. So that is still a possibility. It's a working document. It's open for change or filling in some of the blanks or making spelling corrections. There is still the opportunity to do that with this report.
Yeah, I mean, those are just small. I don't mean that isn't the word. The idea of added information that you have there that can be incorporated now, I understand that. I have no problem with that, and I don't think that's a big issue.
Okay, are we ready to move on? Are there any other questions on this item, on the process to make the changes? Okay. An update on the public process for approval of the initial survey.
Okay, I just want to go through and I kind of put it in your memo to what we did, just to revisit kind of the whole process. We had the kickoff. We received the grant in the fall of 2012. Bobby wrote the grant and was successful in getting it. We had the kickoff meeting in October of 2012. And then throughout the process, Jennifer Lurkey came to a lot of our Historical Preservation Committee meetings. She came to more meetings than probably typically someone would come to that's doing this type of process because of the role that she took, and she just wanted to get more input. She at those meetings, she explained what needed to be done, the information that was needed, how it should be documented, all of that. So we went through all that with everybody who kind of dished out different things, and people helped out. Once the report was completed, it was distributed to you guys, the committee members, electronically. Also, the village board members got it, as well as was put up on the village website. Then at the July 24th Historical Preservation Committee meeting, it was presented to you guys there. And that's when Jennifer came in and she went through it and talked through the whole thing. Some corrections were made. We had some comments and some changes that we made. And then the document was prepared for approval at the August 6th meeting, village board meeting. August 6th village board meeting, the final document was approved by the village board. And again, the final document is put out on the website. All the contact information for the State Historical Society is out there, and also Joe DeRose is out there so people can contact him. I spoke to Joe DeRose on what is required on the document and to have this document done. There's no requirement for a public hearing. It just has to be put into a public venue. So it has to be at a meeting. So it doesn't have to be a public hearing. It was at two meetings. It was at many other Historical Preservation Committee meetings throughout the process. Everyone was noticed. The public was noticed of it. It's out on our website. It's out in the information, so anybody that wanted to could come. The public, when it went to Village Board for final approval, again, it's not a public hearing. It just is noticed on their agenda, which it was. Jim has a concern about it, the way it was written. When it was written for on the agenda for historical preservation, it was listed as presentation approval of intensive survey of historical and architectural sites in the Village of Alloway. When I put it on the agenda for the Village Board, I put it on presentation approval of the initial survey of historic sites in the Village of Alloway. I did talk to Joe DeRose again in regard to the verbiage, if there's an issue with initial versus intensive. There is none. He said it doesn't have a big, it's whether it's initial or intensive, doesn't matter. You're still, it was noticed, it was put out there, people could understand what was done. I also spoke with our attorney to make sure there was anything on his end, and his response was the survey of historical sites in the Village of Alloway is sufficient public notice as an agenda item. The use of initial or intensive to describe the survey doesn't change the substance of what was noticed for consideration by the public bodies. So our legal has said that it was handled properly, it is fine, it went through the process, it was approved, so there it is all set to go, and it has been approved, and it was not handled in an inappropriate manner, or it was not mishandled in any way. So that is just a review of the process and what was done and how it was handled, and I don't know if anybody has any other questions on that. Jim probably
does. Yes, I do. it was up to this committee that I'm on, and I take full responsibility for not getting the word out. And that's why we brought up the December meeting, is that when we had concerns about the districts that were outlined, we had a duty to let the village board know and put it out to the public so that it wouldn't go too far before it, we spent our whole budget. We had that duty. I was on the board. I did my best. And this was an ad hoc committee. I'm not on the board.
I was going to say, what board were you on?
Yeah, so this is an ad hoc committee with the Historic Preservation and the Historic Society. So this is strictly ad hoc. I'm not appointed by the village. But that was my position, is that when we recognized that everybody said, I understand you're disappointed, we had a duty at that time to call into question and make sure everything was being done right.
So. And that was why the meeting was held in December, because of Jim's concerns. And Joe DeRose sat here for 3 hours and went through everything with us and answered all of Jim's questions and explained why it was the way it was and why some of the districts were not put in and why there were just the two or three, was it two? Three.
Three.
That were approved. He went through all of that and explained all of that to Jim. And that was the reason that we met. It was a concern that Jim had, and we met with him. So that was all addressed. And that was all gone through with Jim at that time.
And so then did this Lombardi stuff come up then?
No.
The Lombardi stuff came up at the meeting we were all at when it was first presented. And because of the Lombardi thing, and then it came down at subsequent meetings that we were not allowed to call it the Lombardi District, and that the district had nothing to do with Vince Lombardi, and then they changed that again after more work was done on Lombardi. So that's just the Lombardi District is the focal point. The Lombardi District would be the south half of the Sunset Park District. So the north half was added to the Lombardi district to beef up that as a historic district.
I haven't heard it referred to as the Lombardi district.
Yeah, there's notes that says that we're not allowed to call it the Lombardi district. And Jennifer had those notes. Because I recognize it as the Lombardi district, and I'm as a realtor, I'm familiar with that neighborhood, and I knew that was not a historic district, that was a 1970s neighborhood, that was not a 1950s neighborhood. The better 1950 neighborhoods are other neighborhoods.
Okay, are there any other questions on the approval process or the way that anything was published? Okay. Thank you for the update. Yeah. Number six, approval to complete a letter of intent for the next round of state grants. So at our last meeting, we were given some options on how we could proceed from here. And we could look at the historic districts, working towards having those be on the National Register. We could look at the ones that were and all the properties that were individually eligible. Or we could start with the government buildings, which would be the easiest probably. And we have two of those that were individually eligible. That would be the Water Department building on Green and then the Community Center on Webster. So because those would probably be the easiest, Bobby and I were thinking that we would maybe want to start with that. If it would be agreeable to write a letter of intent to try to get those.
Wasn't there some other buildings on there too?
Those were the only two village ones that were eligible.
How about the chapel?
There was not a village building. And I don't know that one was eligible.
So what are the buildings they were talking about?
Community Center, and then the building that you like on Green.
Oh, yeah. My favorite. The one that I'm going to buy.
The water building, yeah.
And Tracy was going to look at, because that one is not being used by the village and potentially could be sold, and we don't know what the new owner would do. She's going to check with the village board to find out.
Yeah.
And Joe DeRose, or did you get the information from
I talked to Chip Brown at the Historical Society. And if we went ahead and did the nomination to get the water building on the historic registry, and the village did decide to sell it, the village would be obligated to retain an easement in the transfer of property, citing that it's a historic place and it's on the registry. And he cited Wisconsin Statute 66.1111. And notification to the State Historical Society at the time of transfer, Chip would be able to help out with verbiage and of the easement.
Could, if the village had decided to tear it down and, just take it down, would that it being listed on National Historic Registry, what kind of things would be added to that to remove it or change in that manner?
If it is on the registry, this is assuming the registry goes through and it's approved, then you would need to notify the State Historical Society and work with them. They would probably send someone down to meet with the village, go through the property, and Chip said they can't stop you.
Okay.
They would just want to be advised of it and see if there was any alternative plans that he could help facilitate.
So that would almost follow any other property then that's addressed in our ordinance, that if somebody wants to tear a building down, I believe it's 90 days that we would have to take pictures and gather information.
To document it.
Right, mm-hmm. Before. So it would be the same for any building.
Yeah,
really.
He's working on a, right now they're in the process of updating their website. So he'll have a whole section online of the procedures and the forms. He was going to send those to me, but I didn't receive them before this meeting.
Okay.
He does have some materials that he could provide. If you would transfer it, if you sell the property and it's on the list, the future owner would have to prove certain regulatory requirements if they wanted to make changes to the building, they'd also have to follow those same steps, provided that easement's in there. If it doesn't get on the list, all of this is null.
Okay. What kind of an easement would that be? Would that be an access?
I think it's to add the historical significance of the building, and then the notation to work with the Wisconsin Historical Society. They also have some guidelines to stay in.
Do we know how Elway as a village feels about this?
Well, I do have it on the agenda for their next meeting, for Village Board. Their meeting's right after Labor Day. Just to say, if that's the direction you guys would like to go, and, you know, try to apply for a grant for those two municipal buildings, to ask them specifically about the one on Green. I think the community center is not an issue. I don't see that one really being, you know, taken down or sold or anything, because it's so used and it's just such a nice facility. But the Green one, that's the water building. Do you remember?
Way down,
yeah, on the east end of Green.
We toured it one day.
Yeah.
Nice cold day.
Yeah.
I remember it well.
Yeah. So that's, I would like to ask the village board and say if we do this, and then
I think that's a key fact that we really need to know.
Yeah. So that they, and it, you know, it doesn't sound like they're, I mean, it doesn't prohibit them from taking it down or selling it or anything. But there's just a few that, you know, the maybe a few extra hoops they have to go through. So if that's the route you guys would like to go, I do have it on the agenda just as a discussion item, just to see if what they think about, you know, going ahead with that.
Well, if we were to go forward with those two buildings, a letter of intent would be due September 13th to the Wisconsin Historical Society with two estimates of what it would take to complete the project. And then the full application would be due in November. So we would have that whole time in there to, even if we did the letter of intent, we don't have to go through the application.
Yeah, it would just allow us to if we decided we wanted to.
Mm-hmm. We do need the two estimates. Is there enough time to get that?
I think so. Yeah.
And would we work with Jennifer, since she's familiar with it, and then one other person?
Probably. Okay. Probably from the list of suggested names from the last subgrant application.
While we're on that topic, I would also like to consider putting on the Sunset Circle Historic Residential District, which the bulk of the work has been done already, and they simply need to fill out the form to fill it out because so much work has been done on it. So I would like to request that we consider putting this on as a case study so you can see how the neighborhood feels. And again, I did do my homework, and there is a positive impact. There's a report on the measuring the economic impacts of historic preservation that was done in 2011. So there's, for a well-run historic district, it's a very good thing. So I think that this would, out of all the areas to do, the Sunset Circle is the smallest, easiest one to do with the most research already completed.
So you know, the only thing I'm afraid of is we need to make sure that there's the buy-in from the neighbors, and we would have to hold public meetings, and I don't know that we have enough time.
To send the letter of intent, I think that you can get it started.
That becomes
a political thing, and so, you know, people are saying that. And there's an undercurrent that isn't being brought out. But if it is indeed a legitimate historic district, it should be evaluated, and then the public should decide, the neighbors should decide if they want to move forward with it or not.
But don't
it
we have to do this
evaluated.
By September?
Right.
No, you
we
just a letter of intent.
But we need estimates too. Yeah.
Well, Jennifer has already been there. All the work has been done. There's 16 homes, and all the work has been done already, and she could write it on up in an hour to give you the estimate on what it would cost. She's been there. More work has been done on the Sunset Circle than any of the other districts, and it's the smallest one. So that's the easiest one to do. So I would suggest, to make sure that we're all on the same page and that that we're not fooling the public, that we put this on the table and we say, this is the way that it's going to work in the future, and this is a good one. And that if the neighborhood doesn't want it, it's on page 143. If the neighborhood doesn't want it, we respect the neighborhood. If the neighborhood does want it, we'll move forward with it. But the public has the right to give their input, and whether somebody speculates whether the neighborhood won't like it or will like it, we won't know that until we put in the request to start the process. Because otherwise, we're just speculating.
Okay, so I see that. I don't.
What happens if you have a meeting like this and it's very densely attended?
So it would probably be the homeowners in that area that would attend.
There's
and
a process
what
that's online.
If your turnout is very poor.
Well, we need at least, is it 60% buy-in? I think they said up to 40% could opt out. Is that what that she had mentioned at the last meeting? So we would want to ensure that we had at least the 60% buy-in before we would even apply for the grant.
So the simplicity of this gets more complex as we go along.
There's 16 homes there, and I have looked at the process for the grant process, and you know it takes about a year from the time that you get started, and I looked at the grant process at the website before I came to this meeting, and that putting in the request to the state to consider it is different than you don't start doing the work until you've requested made the request to the state first. You know, there's a process that goes along with getting this done, and it's available online, and so I looked it on up. So the first step is to say, we're thinking about doing this, and then getting the bid first, and getting the public buy-in that comes in later. But you take it. It's very important to have the public give us feedback. And you know, as a realtor, we always represent the homeowners. And so, you know, if this process is a good process, the Sunset Circle is the best place to start because it's only 16 homes and it's the easiest one. And so much work has been done on it, and there's a lot of interest in the Vince Lombardi home anyway. So,
okay.
if other people say that it's a hotbed, we have to let the people know that. We have to listen to them.
Are these grants only available once a year?
Yes.
Yes.
So if we don't do this now, we have to wait another year for that.
Right. And then everybody who knows anything will be gone. Okay.
Okay. I understand from what I've heard that there's so much preliminary work that has been already done on the Sunset property. I understand that. As opposed to the two buildings that we were talking about, there's only two of them. We're not going to have all different property owners involved in this. You know, once we get the answer from the village hall, we'll have better footing.
Yeah.
So when you get down to the nitty-gritty, maybe the two buildings we're talking about would be the least work.
Well, I mean, it's your first time.
It's a good start.
You know, it's a good start.
And you'd be starting with only two buildings.
One owner.
It would get us more into the process, yep. And we would have better footing as we went along for spaces that are larger.
Well, you know, that's my concern, because I think some of this almost went faster than what, you know, this stuff got done and we didn't really get a chance to really thoroughly go through it, and it happened so fast. My concern is if we do that, you know, it's going to turn out the same way.
So that's part of the concern that I have.
Right.
I don't want a replay of this. And we're talking about two buildings, and one of them is owned by the village.
Both are owned by the village.
Both of them are owned by the village, but
we're
going to
end up regulating ourselves.
But we have our concern of only one building, because the community center, I don't feel, is a great big question mark.
Yeah.
So once we get our answer back where the village stands on this, we'll have better footing, and there's only two buildings that we're concerned about at this point, and that we're more into the procedure then.
So I think that
we as members have to decide what way we want to go. And it's the idea of a member of the committee putting this forth and having it approved.
What is your concern about if that pushed off in a year?
It's the long-term plan that I see here would be take one district per year. You start with the easiest one, which would be Sunset Circle.
Well, actually, the two buildings would be the easiest.
No, I'm talking about districts.
Right.
I'm talking about districts. Okay. The village, for the village to regulate itself, it's silly to think that the village needs to regulate itself. Okay. So that's a whole different issue.
The village. Silly.
Okay. So.
Well, we're in the process.
Well,
right.
Okay.
And
so, the members have to make this decision.
So if the question. There's 13 eligible buildings. Okay,
right.
So you have to decide if you're going to cherry pick out of the 13 eligible buildings or the three historic districts. If you want to show people, we have a tremendous amount of work done here. The knowledge base will not get any better 2 years from now when we start this on the historic districts. The expertise is going to be dissipated. People are going to leave. So we have three districts. You start with the easiest one first, that is the most high profile. The state, the top guy in the state came down and says he loves this thing. He absolutely loves this thing. So he wants it done. Okay. So he's already said, if you nominate it, I'll give you my rubber stamp. He's already said that. It's very clear. So if the state will approve it, then that only leaves us to talk to the neighborhood and let the neighborhood understand how historic districts work and what that means to them. But the state has already been through it with a fine-tooth comb, and they said they love it.
I'm a member of the committee, and I think it's good that we discuss this. And I don't disapprove of anything you said. You have your facts verbatim, and you've aired them well. But as a member of this committee, and if I had to make a suggestion, I would recommend that we go with the two buildings.
And is that a motion?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion?
I'm still a little undecided on it, I guess.
Do you have any other questions that you need to answer?
Well, I guess the one question is, okay, these grants can be done once a year.
Every fall is the application
every
deadline.
Fall.
Mm-hmm.
So if, I guess when you said something about, Jim, when you said something about you have to apply before you can...
You start the process, and then you get the public involved once you put the process in place.
But you can start the process before we apply, can't we?
No, that's the start of the process. The start of the process is this letter of intent that says we would like to be considered for this grant.
But one thing that Jennifer said, I think, when she met with us, when you start working on districts, she said, make sure you have an interest from the residents, that the residents want to do it, because the state does not want you to go through the initial grant, get the grant, and all of a sudden the residents say, there is no way we're doing
right,
this.
And
so that's the thing we need to make sure of, and we don't have a ton of time to be able to do
right, and that's why I thought if we did the two buildings now and then...
It would give us time.
Take it, you know...
To do a good job in the presentation.
After the first of the year, start making
right.
this
isn't
public
that more or less
and
what I
talk
just
to the
said?
People.
Yes.
And do it.
My fear is if we go to the homeowners in the districts right now without having our story fleshed out very
right.
well,
right.
we're going to turn them off. And we will have no
we'll
chance.
We'll have more footing. We'll know what we're dealing with when we progress on. That doesn't mean that we're not going to do it, and this doesn't mean it's not the next one on the agenda.
Right.
But what it means is that we're starting at this point.
It'll be a learning experience.
And what I would, as a compromise to that, well, you need to answer the question: are you going to do your nomination for the two buildings? And then the Sunset Circle is the next item on the agenda. So you need to vote on whether you're going to do the village buildings, because that's the motion that's on the table.
Right. We've had a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion?
No, I think we should do that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Okay. So now we can look at the question that we were just addressing, which was the Sunset Circle issue. And as a compromise to that, to answer that, to say that we don't have the community buy-in, I would suggest that I would like to see a motion from somebody, because I'm not a member of the committee and I cannot make a motion. I would like to see a member of the committee motion to ask the state to review and make sure that everything, that all of these properties are indeed eligible to be included. So there were in the report it says that they were surveyed and that there were.
Jim, that's something that you can clarify with Joe.
But
that's what Ian said. That's what needs to go to Joe.
But I don't have any authority to do anything. So if the Sunset Circle is an issue, then only the committee members can make a motion to say, can we have Joe review it and make sure that what's contained in the report is accurate.
Well, when
that would take the better part of 18 minutes, because that's how long it took me.
It seems like on one hand you don't feel that the properties are eligible, and then at the same time you're asking us to try to get that historic district approved.
By having you trying to prove the historic district, you will then be able to prove that it is not eligible. So that is the scientific method of proving it, because if you try and prove that these are all in compliance, it will take you 18 minutes to do by reading the report. And I don't think it's too much to ask Joe to go through and just look at the dates and look at the additions that were put on the buildings in that Sunset District, and he will pull it on out.
If you have that information, I encourage you to contact Joe. The public does have the right to contact him with any changes.
But it has to come through. This is an official meeting. It's on the record. And I have no authority other than... I really have no authority.
That's not on the agenda. On the agenda is a letter of intent.
And we did approve to work on the two village buildings.
If it's not on the agenda, then why don't we put it on next month's agenda?
It is on the agenda, because talking about the Sunset Circle Historic District is on the agenda. I don't have standing on the committee, so it would have to come from a committee member to make the motion to ask the state to just make sure that what's contained.
Well, I haven't heard any committee member make a motion to that effect.
The only thing on the agenda was to approve the letter of intent for the next round, and it's been approved, the motion's been approved to have the next round be the two village buildings.
Okay.
So we're done with item six, and we're moving on unless anybody has anything else.
I think that we've gotten a lot of feedback today, and we've gotten a lot of things to mull over in our mind, and I think this would be addressed better at a future meeting.
We will put that on the agenda. Our next item is to set the next meeting and agenda. So the 4th,
September 25th, it would be. It's the 4th.
September 25th. And another thing I'd wanted to discuss is whether we should add announcements and public appearances to our agenda, similar to what Planned Commission has. Does Village Board follow?
Village Board does, yeah. So it probably should be, if you would like, we should probably put that on there. So certainly
that could be added to the agenda.
And also for the next week's agenda, next time's agenda, the village is going to be, the state is going to be renovating Highway 57, and we've identified a collection of homeowners that are very concerned about the road widening of the roadbed, and we've identified a potentially historic structure in that proposed roadbed, which would be the front gate of the Murphy Coles estate. And so I would like to talk about creating a 100-foot wide military road corridor of protection for those people, and it doesn't stop the state, but it gives people a much better seat at the table on that. So I would like, as the agenda item for next time, to talk about a military road historic corridor in Alloway that would include the Murphy Coles gate, and it would only be 100 feet wide, and it would not include any residential structures. It would simply include the 100-foot-wide corridor centered on the old military road.
Well, there have been two new committees created regarding the river.
I'm familiar. Right. Yes. But they're going to be looking...
Yes.
No.
They already did a historical review of the corridor.
Okay.
So they're going
and
to be...
And they have not made a decision on if the road will be widened or narrowed or what will happen. So I think this is premature because the state is still looking at how that roadway will be designed and what size it will be. We have not gotten anything back. There's never been discussion about taking property. Any of that has not been discussed at this point. We don't have any information on what they're doing because the state is still reviewing that.
So it's out of our...
It is out of our hands. And the state is required to do a historical and an archaeological survey of the road, of the corridor, which they did.
That our agenda should include our immediate needs as they need to be discussed.
As a member of the public, I have requested that we designate locally designate a 100-foot wide corridor as a military road corridor in Alloway.
We have application that's on the website for locally designated.
So,
and I also have
if that can be on
the guardhouse.
Agenda,
but
you have
to get all that
application.
I will submit it too. But if we can just make sure that everybody is familiar with the locally designated military road historic district, and it would only be a 100-foot wide corridor.
I believe the owner has to apply, so that would be the state.
So we will take a look at it. It would be. We'll take a look at it. But it's homeowners. The homeowners along the corridor would be the ones that would be applying.
Oh, so it's not the roadway itself. It would be within private property?
The private property, a portion of everybody's yard that is currently at risk would be protected. And it doesn't stop a road from being constructed, but it does give them a better seat at the table. And it would typically go maybe about 20 feet from the current curbway, and that's all that the homeowners would want. So it would give them a method of communicating with each other and give in a historic district, and that's why it's come before this committee. It's because it would be a locally designated historic district. I've been working on the military road for about 5 years now, so I have quite a bit of information on that.
You guys remember the guardhouse put in for historic landmark nomination? That's the only one that we have as a locally designated site right now. But here is the documentation and what was needed for it. So, and that came to a meeting. I don't even know. It's been a bit since it was done.
How big
is
that book? Is it about 50 pages?
There's a lot of good information in here. So that's similar to what needs to be done, Joe. So this needs to come in. And then if it's all in order and everything's ready, then it can be put on the agenda.
Okay, so I'll just make a copy of that at some point, and I'll just...
Copy this?
Yeah, I'll just bring my camera and I'll do that.
Okay, no, it does say that it either has to be a historic structure or a historic site, so you're saying that it would be a historic
structure.
Site.
Well, I have a structure.
What are you talking about? It's
not a structure.
The fence?
The fence is a structure.
Okay, so you're saying
just like
the
Eiffel Tower, that fence is the Eiffel Tower of Alloway.
So you would want to locally designate the fence then?
Locally designate the fence.
As a structure.
As a structure, and then the corridor as a district. So that's, and I will take a look at the paperwork and I will talk with the homeowners.
Okay. Okay, but I don't know how that would affect if the state does feel that they need additional right-of-way and they need to...
We're jumping the gun. We don't have authority to tell the state what to do.
Right.
So
the okay, this, you'll have to get the information together, Jim, before it gets put on the agenda.
There's an application for that,
okay,
and then provide supporting information on
okay.
that tool.
Okay.
So if you would get that to us, 2 weeks prior to the next meeting, that would enable it to be on the agenda?
Yeah.
Okay, 2 weeks before the next meeting.
I hate to be such a stick in the mud, but, you know, these are important items, and, you know, and people's homes are very important to them. So this is, you know, somebody's got to stand up for, you know, the people, and that's my job. That's my job. As a realtor, that's what we're obligated to do.
Okay. So for our next agenda, if Jim can get the information by September 11th, we'll look at the fence to mm-hmm. be locally designated.
And the corridor.
And the corridor. As part of a historic site? Are you looking
as
at that
part
as
of a historic district? It would be a historic district.
Well, you can either designate a historic structure or a site.
So when
you keep saying district, though.
No. It's going to be a district. A locally designated district.
Okay.
So it would be a locally designated district with a structure contained within that district.
Okay.
And then also, are we doing the Jim Sunset?
We can discuss that. That will not be included on the letter of intent sent to the state. That
right,
due
right.
This September 13th,
but
we can look at it
for
the next.
For the next.
Possibly
correct.
The next
right.
project.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Or requesting a clarification from the state that it does
right.
indeed comply.
That's fine. Right.
And I don't mind taking a contrarian approach and saying getting the state to prove something doesn't exist, because that's what's going to happen. So
okay.
that's the only way that it can be fully researched as a case study.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are there any other items that need to be on the agenda?
Anything with the letter of intent? That will be in
the
then.
I can give you a copy.
Just get an update of it.
Okay. I am actually going to be in Chicago that week.
Okay.
So I can either phone in or get it to you prior.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, so we'll just kind of update the committee on the application process and all that stuff.
Is it similar to the last process?
Yeah.
Just
mm-hmm. Same process.
Can I ask a question? I started to ask this before and I never got an answer, or I didn't get it out. When a property is on the National Register, like if the community center would be, are there grants and things that are available that normally wouldn't maybe not be available for like repairs or?
The tax credits would apply
okay.
then.
But that's a non-taxable property
okay.
anyway, so no, the answer is nothing available through the tax credits because it's a non-taxable property.
There are historical societies that issue grants besides Wisconsin.
Okay, so there would be maybe potential for something else of
mm-hmm.
some other organization. Okay.
With now that is on the table, I think that the Historical Society is very interested in documenting the works program through the Depression, and the 1930s and 40s are a very important structure, and that particular building would be right at the tail end of that works program. So the Historical Society is very interested in documenting stories, and the architectural studies are, we leave that to somebody else.
And you're talking about the community center.
The community center. That's a beautiful building, and it's at the end of the works program, and so that's a good one for the general public to get their sink their teeth into. That's a very good building.
So as the consultant gathers their information to apply for the registry, then we would start learning more about it. And you're not saying that we need to.
Oh, we don't need to do anything.
Okay.
Now that I know that
okay.
you know that you're looking at the structure,
mm-hmm.
that we can do the cultural aspect
okay.
of it. So there's always two components. There's a structural component, there's a cultural component, and gathering the stories is much easier if you have people who've been working on it for a while, and then they just turn the stories over to the person who's been evaluating the structure, and then they can comb through and say, that's what we want to include in the
that's
report.
The key, that the information has to be turned over, though, to whoever's doing
will
it.
Will you help us?
Yeah.
No, I do. I did a lot of work, and just for example, you know, I was requested if I had turned my book over. Okay, so this is from the state, and here's all the Indian villages in Alloway. Okay, so there were a bunch of Indian villages in Alloway that don't show up in the report, and it's in the Charles Brown report. But if I had given you just my book of maps, just this one book, you wouldn't know what to do with it. It would take me 5 hours to explain what's in this book, and it wouldn't have made it into the report anyway. But this is just one. I have a whole library of stuff, but this is just one example. And you know, the Charles Brown Atlas is, people would want to know where the different Indian villages were in Alloway. Okay, they got three of them on here. And this was the start of the database that you're updating now. The very start of the database was this map. Okay, so it has, you know, and we're updating this map with this report. And this is 100 years old.
Okay, well, we have the agenda set for the next meeting. Anybody like to make a motion to adjourn?
Is the meeting September
25th. Mm-hmm, at 5 p.m.
I make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you all.
Thank you.